As we get to Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. And Kevin, lots and lots to the to discuss in the goaltending world. Before we get to Mike Smith, let's talk about Knight in Florida. What do you make of the coaching decision there to go with the third goalie?
Well, I mean, it kind of feels like you're grasping a little bit, to be honest, from the outside. Start with Bob, go to Dreger. Back and forth, down 3-1, let's pick the kid. And listen, he won all his starts. He's got a 919 in the regular season. I actually took a look at his adjusted numbers, and to be honest, they were, like, adjusted save percentage is worse, the worst of the three, and yet I don't know how much you can make out of that smallest sample size. They had a couple of high-scoring games that he won towards the end of his season. I think he gave up 3 and 4 and won both of them, I think, in extra time. And then, you know, the one shutout he had was against Columbus, who wasn't exactly generating a ton late in the season. So I don't know that it makes much of a difference. It's probably not going to make any difference if they continue to just get killed on the power play. I mean, Tampa Bay, I said this last week, it made zero sense to me that Florida came out in that game and in that series trying to sort of run them through the glass and basically turn into a power play contest, because Tampa's 7 for 12 with the man advantage in this series. So I guess you never know, though. Like, if you were to get some momentum, if the kid comes in, there's probably not much of a book, not much of a pre-scout on him yet. He comes in and has some success, it could be the kind of thing that, you know, tips the scales of a series that is, you know, otherwise going in the completely different direction. So I don't mind it. I just think we need to temper our expectations here, because his record to end the regular season wasn't always indicative necessarily of, certainly wasn't indicative of a dominant level of play. But like I said before, 5-on-5, they don't need dominant. They just need competent. They just haven't gotten that yet.
Kev, the Nashville Carolina series, It's only a few games, but man, the two undersized goalies are on the smaller side, Nedeljkovic and UC Saros. Man, they both been electric in that series. They're still giving up lots of goals. there's been lots of saves made. What do you make of this at the end? You know, do you think it's going to change the viewpoint at all on the smaller goalie?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know that it changes it. I hope it opens some eyes. I mean, Saros is 5'10", and Nedeljkovic is listed at 5'11". And you're right. They are giving up a lot of goals, but when you look at the amount of chances that they're giving up, both of them are actually performing quite well to this point. So Nedeljkovic in particular. Like, and what makes his really tough is, if you watch that game the other day, like, Nashville wasn't getting a lot of shots, and so if you were to look at the sort of, you know, shot clock and goals, I think at one point it was like 3-on-15. You're like, oh man, they're getting out goaltended here, because Saros is standing on his head at the other end. I think it's back to back 50 plus save nights. But if you watched it, like, he was literally going like minutes, like 5 minutes without a chance or a shot, and then point blank, grade A highlight reel save. So, you know, talk to goalies, doesn't matter when or where, like, that's the toughest situation pretty much every goalie will agree on, is watching the other guy stand on his head and then, you know, getting nothing to sort of get you into the game but a great chance. And Nedeljkovic has been really good. Does it shift the mindset? I kind of doubt it. Does it maybe open the eyes of a few teams that have probably gone the other way too aggressively? Like, I've told you this before, that there's kind of some high-end goalie coach people that I've talked to over the past couple of years that have kind of settled on 6-3, maybe 6-2 as your ideal. And the understanding that any goalie, if you go 2 or 3 inches in either direction, you have something to overcome. That, you know, whether it's 6 foot and under or 6'5" and 6'6", like, you have to overcome your size in different ways. I just think the big guys get more of a chance. I think there are teams that eliminate the opportunity to even see what an Nedeljkovic or a Saros could do, just because they won't even look at guys that size. I wonder how much this played into, I mean, look at Nedeljkovic, and he was available on waivers. Any team could have had him at the beginning of the season. I wonder how many teams looked at him and said, no, not at 5'11", right? So, I hope it changes some minds. I'm not optimistic. I know there are a bunch of teams that, you know, have seen the light on this, and they like the fact that other teams haven't, because it basically eliminates half their competition for goalies of this size. Like, if you find 5'11", 6'4", are you really, really like? And you're weighing, like, can we wait to the sixth or seventh round on this kid, or is somebody else, you know, going to jump? Well, when two-thirds of the league won't even touch a kid under 6'1 or 6'2", you kind of know it's a much smaller pool of teams you're competing against for a goalie of that size, and that becomes an advantage.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, I've seen a lot of people saying Mike Smith was holding on to the screen too long on that game-tying goal last night, even though it did change a little bit of direction off Puljujarvi's stick. What do you make of that?
Yeah, we had this discussion in sort of an InGoal group chat because one of our writers kind of agreed with that take, and I'll be honest, I disagreed with that take. In a perfect world, is he maybe in a tall, narrow stance in the middle of the net trying to look around that flash screen, the one with McDavid coming through the middle? It might have been Kopp that he was coming through the middle with, but basically creating a double wide screen in the middle of the net. And yeah, if you can get up and tall, and Mike Smith is tall, and get into your narrow stance and be able to look over that screen, then maybe middle of the net and looking over might work. Pretty good job with the fake slapper by Morrissey at the point. And at that point, you know, it really was kind of top of the circle, not too far inside the dot. So it was more of an angled shot. It wasn't quite what we call middle of the ice. And a good job by Morrissey. And the fake slapper sort of gets Mike into that low settled save stance, right? And a good job by Morrissey to drag that thing into the middle. I've freeze framed this, you know, six ways from Sunday. And this was a long, extensive group chat about this goal with a bunch of really smart goalie people. And at the end of the day, I come out on it that if he's in the middle of the net, as that shot is released, he doesn't see the release, right? Like, he just can't, because there's a double, you know, it's McDavid, and like I said, I think it was Kopp going through the middle. He can't see that release. And at that point, you're probably, most goaltenders, if you can't see the release, you're just dropping straight behind that screen, straight down. And so that puck probably goes in anyways. Not like it went in the middle of the net. It went in sort of low glove. The fact that he actually seemed to have his glove in the right spot, and it was the slight deflection, I mean, that thing, I think it actually almost hit the bottom of his glove as it went in, tells me that he held on to the short side, prioritized seeing the release, and the fact he shifted across the flash screen and was in the right spot with the glove at the other side, if not for the tip, tells me that he did the right thing. And, you know, when we go through our pro read segments at InGoalMag.com, like every week we have an NHL player walk us through their preferences. And there are, you know, screens are a big one, right? We're trying to use these as teaching tips for kids. And, you know, screens is a big focus of conversation. And there are some guys that will say, get back to the middle every time you can. Devin Dubnyk is one of those. But the majority will prioritize seeing a release over being in the middle, or over having to give up your vision before the release. And so when I look at that play in totality, you know, I think Mike Smith held onto the short side long enough to see the release, and he put himself in position on the other side of that screen to make the save, and it was probably the deflection, as slight as it was, that makes the difference there. Now, maybe, do you want maybe a bigger shift across into that side as opposed to a reaching glove? Again, maybe. Do you want him maybe high in a high stance? Yep, maybe. Those are perfect world scenarios. That wasn't a perfect world play. Part of it is you got to tip your hat. Like I said, pretty good play by Morrissey to not only fake the slapper, but then pull it back the other way and change that angle in a hurry. And, you know, that gets Mike Smith into that low stance. And at that point, I have a hunch that he would say his priority is to see the release. And I have a hard time disagreeing with it, not just based on my opinion, but based on a lot of the goalies we talk to around the league, you know, for these pro read segments at InGoalMag.com. You always want to see where that puck is heading off the release rather than getting stuck behind a screen and being left guessing.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, Smith's style, because a lot of people are like, well, what about the game-winning goal off the faceoff? Say he starts too low, but that's where he plays. Like, it's not going to change. Just don't lose the faceoff that cleanly.
Yeah, you know, like, and you could have conversations about, you know, the way he sets up on the post on every faceoff and sort of leaning, almost towards the post. But that hasn't changed, right? Like, that's, you know, and I think over the course of this year, he's gotten out and taken ice more often than he did in the past. Like, I have a tough time pinning this one on him, to be honest, you know. In totality as an overview. And that goal, I'm with you, Jason. Like, that's, you're not going to look at that and be like, God, we got to rebuild how he plays on his post here. There's a reason he stays on the goal line there. We've seen other examples, and I can't remember who had it. It might have been Rob Gershon, a goalie who's now coaching, who used to actually was in the Rangers system with Allaire and sort of learned that same, you know, inside-out, goal-line-out philosophy that Mike employs from his days in Arizona. And, you know, he had some video of, you know, guys that line up on the face-off at the top of the circle and, you know, a quick pass across the ice to a one-timer, and they can't get there. And Smith, so he prioritized that depth at his size so that he can move laterally on it. I don't think he gets stuck on his post. Like, he shifts off it. At the end of the day, that puck goes by his ear. And it's the perfect spot. It's a great shot by a skilled player. I don't know that if he's, you know, a couple feet off his goal line, that makes much of a difference in terms of making that save. You certainly lessen your reaction time to it. And you talk to any goalie and they're going to tell you, like, the perfect spot, like, you've got your low blocker, that's a great shot. But the one that goes over your shoulder by your ear is the toughest one to catch.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kev, we're down to a best of three, the Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, the Islanders have been a team that's, you know, didn't give up a whole bunch all year long, man. Their goaltenders have let in some soft goals for their standards. And, you know, Pittsburgh goaltending's kind of been what you said it would be at the start of the series. So do you have more faith in the Islanders in a best of three because you think their goaltender's probably going to figure it out? Or are you concerned about all about Varlamov?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because, you know, them and Washington were the two that I thought might be undone by poor goaltending. And then there were a couple of series I thought great goaltending might be enough to overcome some of the stats that went against their teams. And I'll be honest, I actually didn't think it would be enough for the Jets, but it has been so far because Hellebuck's been great. Fleury's been incredible in that series. And Vasilevsky's had to make some great saves in his. You know, Pittsburgh was easily predictable. Washington was easily predictable based on goaltending, but I didn't see, you're right, the Islanders being let down. Now, the good news for the Islanders is that as Varlamov struggles, and I'm curious if we're going to find out later that there was an injury involved, because remember, he didn't start the first game. And so when you see him, when you see a guy be that much worse, like Varlamov's been around for a long time. He's been in that organization for a couple of years now. And you sort of know what the standard is. And when a guy's that far below the standard, you wonder if something's up. The good news is one of the confidence points we had with the Islanders was that it wasn't just him. In his first taste of the NHL, Ilya Sorokin has basically posted near identicals to what Varlamov did behind a very goalie-friendly system with the Islanders. And so Varlamov's not playing well. They go to Sorokin. He's got two wins in two starts, and it looks like they're going to stick with him in game five, and unless he hits some type of unexpected blip, probably the rest of the way. So I guess that's the positive of having two in this case. You've got a struggling Varlamov, unpredictably so, like really out of character for him. He's never been a world beater to me outside of that 1 year in Colorado, but he's always been steady, and this doesn't fit that bill. So nice that you have an option that can come in and basically give you the same level of goaltending that a healthy Varlamov would.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week, and you know, we'll see what happens with the goaltending. We know that Boston's moving on to Garras has been very good for them. Grubauer in Colorado, they look legit. So, Kev, by next Monday, we likely have most of the second rounds or Game 7 to discuss, so we'll talk about it then.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and looking forward to seeing if the Oilers can hang on tonight, Jason. I got to say one quick one on Hellebuck, man. What did we talk about going into this series? Creating lateral plays. We're three games in. They've created all of five chances off lateral plays, and two of them have been on the power play. So three slot line plays, even strength for scoring chances in three games. Telling you, won't get it done against this goaltender.
Kev, have a good one. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks.